Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This podcast is supported in part by the Bertha Foundation.
Good evening, Lewis. How are you?
I'm very well, Daniel. How are you?
I'm really good. I'm in. I don't know if you've been following my mushroom saga on Twitter, but I'm in alternative accommodation.
Absolutely.
I'm in a hotel.
It's the most interesting reason that a human is a hotel in the last 12 months.
Yeah, that's right. I'm not in quarantine. I'm being quarantined away from my own house, which is currently being under quarantine.
I think tell the full story. It's insane. You're being attacked by a fungus.
Yeah, so you know the March rains. We're suffering La Nina here in Australia. There was lots of rain in March, and the rain went for about 6 or 7 days. It didn't hold up at all. And then 2 days after that, I got a strange finger poking through the ceiling of my house in my bedroom, followed by another strange figure, these black fingers creeping through the ceiling. And I was freaked out. I took these photos. They were dripping. They were mushy. And it was disgusting. And then the next morning I woke up and they turned into mushrooms. Mushrooms were growing out of my ceiling. And then 2 days after I got rid of them, I was like, luckily I had some spare masks around, Lewis, because of the pandemic, donned some masks and some gloves, got rid of the mushrooms. Then 2 days later, I had more fingers poking their way through the ceiling. Then 2 days after that, I had another set of fingers poking their way through the ceiling. And I couldn't bear being in there any longer. And thankfully, the landlord is sorting it out. And hopefully there's no more aliens creeping out of my ceiling.
Yeah, the best thing about it is because your house is in Sydney, it's still worth $5 million.
if I wanted to buy the house, I wouldn't even be able to buy this fungus-ridden house.
Well, no, the real estate agent would add the fungus as a bonus. It would be, you know, there's 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, a parking spot, and this beautiful fungus, very unique to the area. It's already paying rent.
People in my neighbourhood pay good money to go to breakfast to have fungus like that on their plates. Speaking of people who pay good money, Lewis, our Patreon supporters, big thank you to Georgia A. Pete Lawler is back on the Patreon. Thank you, Pete. David George. Kasia Zanotta has joined us. Also, some guy called Rod the Badger Matthews is now a supporter on our Patreon.
A cousin of the honey badger?
I don't know. Big thank you to Rod the Badger Matthews. Now, we've got some live shows coming up. We're doing 2 big shows in climate vulnerable areas, one about energy transition in Newcastle on June the 5th, which is going to be great. We've got Kirsten Drysdale for that, James Pender from Sammy J, Lewis, you're doing it, and also we've got Georgia Woods from Lock the Gate is joining us on stage as well for that. That's June 5th in Newcastle at the Playhouse. Tickets for that go on sale on Monday. June 13th, we're going to Bega to do jokes about bushfires and resilience and grief. That's going to be good. That's going to be good. One of our guests.
And cheese.
And cheese. Hopefully cheese. You know, Bega, Australia's least problematic cheese. Gabby Bolt is joining us there. Dylan Bain is also joining us on both those shows as well. He's from Newsfighters. They're joining us tonight on this podcast. And also one more show to announce. We are pulling together a gigantic panel of Sydney's favourite satirists, and we're going to be arguing that satire is more important than journalism or not at the Judith Nielsen Foundation at their brand new building in Sydney on June 24th. Now, that is a free show. All the information will be in the show notes. If you're in Sydney in June 24th, do come along to that. That one's got people like Alex Lee, Mark Humphreys, the well-known satirist Lewis Hobber, and Walkley Award winner Kathy Wilcox, as well as Alice Fraser from The Bugle as well.
That's huge.
Huge, huge show. Now, I'm recording my end of Irrational Fear on Gadigal land of the Eora Nation. Sovereignty was never ceded. We need a treaty. Let's start the show.
Irrational Fear contains naughty words like Brexit, Canberra, fair dicum, and Section 40. Irrational Fear recommends listening by immature audiences.
Tonight, Australia gets its own Space Force. Scott Morrison's saying he's keen to find out new locations of Australian war crimes before Four Corners does. And Tesla will no longer accept Bitcoin in exchange for cars due to the environmental impact and will only accept lithium from dictators of third world countries who promise to do empathy training. And Matt Damon does a live cross to television to the United States from a pokies room in a pub in New South Wales and subsequently learns that Australians have a very different definition of what a VIP room is. It's the 14th of May 2021. And where was the relief package for podcasters in the budget, Mr. Speaker? This is Irrational Fear.
Irrational Fear!
Welcome to Irrational Fear. I'm your host, former SNL cast member and star of the upcoming comedy feature film High School High, Dan Illich. And this is Irrational Fear, the podcast that marinates in a hot tub of disaster because what else can you do? This is our budget special. Please, let's meet our fearmongers for tonight. She's the newest employee in the Chasers content mines. It's the musical queen of the Central West. It's Gabby Bolt.
Hey! I like that.
Welcome, Gabby. How has the Chaser been for you as an employer so far? Are they treating you fine?
Yeah, it's been great. I've had to learn to not be scared in several situations very quickly, which is, but it's great. It's a job, so they're treating me great.
A lot of people who work with the Chaser say that, yeah, it's a job.
No. Oh, God, don't get me fired. If Charles watches this, I'm done.
We've all worked for the Chaser at one point. It's fine. And he's the keeper of Australia's wackiest political clips from Australian TV history. From the News Fighters podcast, it's comedy editor Dylan Bain.
Hey, hello everyone. If I'm a little bit tired, I was up till 5 a.m. covering the budget this week, so I'm still recovering from budget night.
And you can hear that all on your wonderful podcast, News Fighters. Did you find a particularly wacky clip out of the budget for this week's News Fighters?
Oh, look, I did find one that I think you'll be fond of, so stick around, we'll play it later on.
Excellent. And finally, he's the busiest man in show business because of the cost cuts the ABC have got him hosting Drive on Triple J and Breakfast on Classic FM. It's Lewis Hobber.
It's been brutal, Dan. The news that the ABC funding will be going down by another $10 million next year after the $100 million or so over the last decade. Triple J is down to just a single J now. had to hand them in. It's been very heartbreaking.
This is our 2021 budget special, and yes, we're going to give you pretty lukewarm takes on the federal budget that was announced 4 days ago. Coming up a little later on in the podcast, we'll chat with friend of the show, Bryn O'Brien from the Australasian Centre for Corporate Responsibility. We'll ask her just how much money was allocated in the budget to avoid the catastrophic climate change-related collapse of all living things in Australia. But first, here's a message from this week's sponsor.
Now at Harvey Norman, you can make huge savings if you're me, Jerry Hab. We've made over $20 million from JobKeeper and have no interest. That's right, zero interest in paying it back anytime soon, even though our profits grew to 180% with sales of up to $5 billion as Aussies purchased our furniture, bedding, outdoor, computer and electrical products to soothe anxiety during a global pandemic and crippling recession that saw jobs get
get slashed and employment opportunities walk out the door, whereas other profitable businesses paid the cash back. Toyota paid cash back. Domino's paid cash back. Nick Scali paid cash back. Just Jeans, JJ, Smiggle, Peter Alexander paid their JobKeeper cash back. And they didn't have to. They've gone completely mad.
It's no wonder people are calling me a huge, huge, huge douchebag.
It's budget time. It's all good. We know we have to talk about money because it is the budget. Tonight, I should also point out that we have a merch store. What a great opportunity. We've got a range of hoodies, T-shirts, stickers. Lewis, we've even got a pillow that you can scream into if things get bad. So if you want to buy some stuff from a merch store, check out the link in the show notes. This week's first fear: move over, United States. Australia is getting its own space force. Yes, not content with stopping the boats of undocumented aliens, Scott Morrison is going to try and stop extraterrestrial aliens. The space force announcement comes a week after the senior defense figure made a statement that the armed conflict with China was inevitable. When they heard this, all 2.8 million members of the Chinese Defense Force laughed in perfect unison and then set about downloading the browser history of our parliamentarians. Fearmongers, do we need a space force?
I feel like we just need to start fixing the problems that are here first, just on this realm of Earth. I feel like there's a few things that the Liberal Party probably should address on Earth.
Such small thinking, Gabby. Such 2021 thinking. You got to look into the future. We've got a bunch of submarines that can't stay down. If they're always going up, maybe just don't stop them at the surface and see if they'll keep on drifting up to the moon.
We could just stick everybody in the current Parliament House in there too. Chuck
That's
them
interesting.
Up.
Move Canberra to a place with no roundabouts, the moon, and see how they go.
Question: it's always question time on the moon.
I think, what's the science centre in Canberra?
Questacon.
CSIRO?
Yeah.
Questacon? I don't know. I've only been to Canberra once with Dan for a sketch and I have very hazy memories. Yeah. Questacon, I'd love going to the moon, wouldn't they? Being on the moon?
Of course they would. But, you know, what does Australia need with a space force? We have, by definition, a lot of space. We are a continent. We've got space on the ground we could administer first.
Look, I think America's Space Force is just going so absolutely well at the moment. I watched Joe Biden's speech to Congress. He almost mentioned it once, almost. So, I mean, you know, if it's going so well in America, surely we have to do it as well.
But looking at the detail of this article, it's really interesting to see that Space Force is actually just going to administer space traffic over Australia, as if that's something they can do. Because it's getting quite cluttered in space, they just need someone to go, no, don't go that way, go this way.
So they're just going to be like the road services in New South Wales and just get a bunch of Irish backpackers to stand at the top with a sign?
The Irish, no, you can't go there, satellite.
It's such a strange thing. Does it need to be a military sub kind of department? That sounds like something that the Roads and Maritime could do, surely.
Oh, my God. I would love to go down to, like, RACV or the RTA and just be like, look, I've got a couple of problems. Obviously, I need a new license plate. My parking permit's run out and I really need my satellite to just zoom over the Nullarbor.
Can I please get my space cadet license, please?
Yeah. As someone who's just tried to get their car registration moved from Victoria to New South Wales, the idea that they could traffic a fucking satellite is so fucking insane. They don't know how to let a car go from Victoria to New South Wales, a land track, you know what I mean? And I'm not the first to do it. I'm not a pioneer. I'm not the first Victorian to move to New South Wales. What the fuck is going on?
Lewis, you're confusing this podcast with Twitter. This is what Twitter's for.
Anyway, I think it's good that the military are doing it. The less the RTA do, the fucking better.
Well, it's kind of interesting. Like the federal government is starting this, but they might end up shifting it to the states because that's what they always do. They always push all the most important things to the states. So soon there's going to be six space forces run by six different premiers all arguing which satellites should be flying over which state.
Who's in charge of space quarantine? ScoMo will say it's the states. The states will say it's
It'd be great. Great spot for Dan Andrews right now, though, if they did give him control. Imagine just floating around and recovering from your back injury in zero G.
Perfect. That is absolutely perfect. He could just absolutely relax up there. And then, dare I say, Steve Price will have a reason to complain. Like, where is Dan Andrews, mate? He's in orbit. Forget it.
Yeah. Irrational Fear. Scott Morrison's in town. He's holding $5,000 a seat fundraisers. Albo's here with us at Labor Day. What a contrast. Don't we need...
This is a rational fear.
This week's second fear. In the budget, there was plenty of money for broadcasters. SBS got an additional $29 million for their language services. I mean, they already make so many programs in all sorts of languages around the world. So now they're going to move into making making languages for speakers of Esperanto and Pig Latin, which is great. The other broadcaster, however, ABC, didn't get a cent. In fact, will suffer a shortfall of $10 million in operational funding. This is $10 million on top of the $100 million that's been cut from the ABC. Over the last 10 years. I've got some ideas. Four Corners has one corner too many, to be honest. And surely you only need one banana in one set of pajamas. And News 24 doesn't need to go 24 hours a day. Maybe they could go 1 hour on, 1 hour off, or share with Sky News. You know, that's probably a way to really bring that fair and balanced angle to it. Fearmongers, what do you think can be done with the ABC? How can the ABC save money?
I think, remember that show that used to be on SBS After Midnight, which was just Fish in a Jar? Do you guys remember the fish? If you got, it was like, at midnight, they just put a camera on a fish tank and that was it. Yeah. It just ran as, and you just watched goldfish from like midnight to six. And apparently that is now the kind of behavior that gets you jacked up $29 million. So if you wanted to downsize News 24 to like News 12, News 12, Fish 12.
That's a great idea. That's a really good idea. Gabby, as someone who makes content for free for a Chinese multinational company.
I don't have any opinion about money and arts. Yeah, I do everything for nothing. I've accepted that I will be broke in the arts for the rest of my life. A bit of money is nice. If they wanted to swing some of that $10 million they're cutting from the ABC in my way, that'd be great. But I don't think they're going to somehow.
I do think that obviously the budget's so skewed so heavily to old people, as it often does with the coalition. It's, from franking credits to not caring about the future of the world. But I don't think they realise how old ABC viewers are. You know what I mean? Like,
these are people with 60. The only people who watch the ABC are the only people with franking credits. Surely. Yeah. Surely,
If you want to give $17 billion to aged care, that's what the ABC is. The ABC is a giant aged care facility. We should be getting some of that $18 billion.
What are old people going to watch all day if there's no News 24?
And where are they going to work?
It's
from cradle to grave. You've got ABC Kids, which is what parents put their kids in front of. And then you've got no one watches the ABC from their 20s and 30s and 40s. And then for their 50s.
I would like to just put my hand up there and say, Triple J is a wonderful and valued youth broadcaster on the ABC.
Soon to be Jay.
Yeah.
Look, having worked at the ABC a lot myself over the last 15 years, one way they can save money is get rid of that once a decade clean they do of the kitchens. I think just get rid of that. That'll save some cash.
Yeah, they could get rid of the buckets that they use to catch the drips when it rains. That's a big spend for us.
They could hire me for nothing.
Slavery is an interesting option.
I don't know. I don't know, Gabby. I don't know if you want that life. That's the life I do. I'm a professional guest at the ABC, and I spend a lot of time there, putting in a lot of hours. Just for free, just to get my face out there, which is great. I don't know if you're keen on that, but it's available to you.
There's a reason your new employers, the Chaser, don't work there anymore. You know what I mean? They wanted to buy their second house.
We're still. I don't know what my job is here.
They're from the generation where you used to get paid to make comedy. They're not used to this new world.
Wild.
As someone who was in the building today, I did notice that there was probably too many lifts. I was like, they could get rid of a couple of lifts and maybe Airbnb them out.
You could live there, Dan. We could move some fungus in.
Yes.
Perfect. I could start a cooking show with Adam Liao. I do have an idea. I had an idea that maybe, because the ABC don't really sell anything. I mean, they sell a bit of merch online, they sell TV shows, but there's nothing straight to consumer. I thought maybe they could change maybe like Julia Zemiro's home delivery. I thought maybe Julia Zemiro could just get paid to deliver anything, like a courier service for the ABC. Yes. I just thought that would be.
Julia Zemiro.
Enough of her driving around with celebrities getting paid for it. She needs to pull her weight.
I'm just going to give her a call now and pitch it to her, see what she thinks. Hello, Jay-Z.
Hello.
You're on the Irrational Fear podcast. We've got Gabby, Dylan and Lewis on the line with you.
How delightful.
Hi, Julia.
Hello.
Now, I don't know if you're aware, Julia, but, you know, the ABC has got a $10 million shortfall because of this budget that's been released. Yeah, $10 million. I wanted to know from you personally what kind of things you're going to do to help save the ABC.
Look, may I just say, in all seriousness, in the last 8 seasons of Home Delivery, I've always done my own makeup. And I get my own hair done the night before in whatever local town we're in to put some money back into their economy. And I'm not joking.
You go to the local towns, the local bakery and have the best local pie that they have there?
Correct. So, you know, we go to many different country towns. You know, we're there the night before. And because I can't be bothered doing my own hair and doing good blow dry, I'll find any random hairdresser. I go in, I introduce myself, I get my hair done, I pay for it myself, I use it as a tax deduction because it's work. Because also we start so early in the morning, I don't want to start at 5 o'clock and do an hour and a half of makeup. I do my own simple makeup. So I'm already saving the ABC time and money. Now, if we ever do home delivery again in these COVID times, I reckon we'll just do it in a park. No car, no school. We're just going to imagine and bring in some actors to act out their life like a life improv game, just to remind them how it works. It's the easiest way.
Jules, have you ever thought about putting a price on what you do and charging the consumer for your home delivery? Like, you know, it's like instead of Uber Eats, it's Uber Meats. You know, Julia Zemiro's home delivery, actually a service you provide. Yeah. We could get people to pay you and pay the ABC to actually deliver things for them.
Yeah, and look, whatever it would be low. I do really wish people would understand that when you work at the ABC, you really don't get top dollar. And I don't mind because I like working for that organisation. Mainly because when you're in the corridors, the people you speak to actually have an opinion on something. So I quite like all that. I'll happily do that. But it's in the corporate world where you're allowed to charge a little bit more. For the ABC, you do it because you feel like your voice is actually heard and they're not going to edit you within an inch of your life. So, look, all I can do is just keep doing my own makeup, keep doing my own hair. And look, I'll charge, you know, look, $20. I'll charge you $20 for an Uber Meet.
Julia, I think the reason they don't edit you to within an inch of your life is because they had to fire the editors with the last round of budget.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. You're right.
Julia, this $10 million that was being that's being lost is actually to do with regional programming. Are you dropping that kind of money where you're going? Are you currently the Santa Claus for regional programming and you're dropping like 500,000 here, 500,000 there?
No,
is serious coin.
It's probably $50 a hair but below dry, you know. Right. In some towns it's 40. But we do eat. We always go to a pub and have something to eat. So we are eating in those regions as well. If you looked at the 80 episodes that we've done of home delivery, you'd find that, you know, I reckon say a good half of them are in country towns. We took Barry Cassidy back to Chilton and we had a delicious meat pie there and a delicious flat white. It's possible. It was delicious.
You don't see Eddie Maguire going to Chilton, do you? You just don't.
Oh,
you never would.
So while you're getting the pies, Julia, you can drop some off down the street if people order them on an app on your phone for us, surely, right? That'd be all right.
Yep, I can do that. I'm happily do that.
Perfect.
I'm quite a good, safe driver.
Thanks for joining us on Irrational Fear. I look forward to downloading the Julia Zemiro home delivery app where I can pick anything I want to be delivered by you for a small nominal fee that'll go to the ABC. Really appreciate it. Have a good night.
Have a lovely night, you beautiful chickens.
Jay-Z there. Now, finally, Dylan, you put together a bit of an extraordinary review of this week's budget on the Newsfighters podcast. What did you discover when you were putting it together?
Thank you very much, Dan. It was a fascinating budget. It was everyone was saying it was a Labor budget from the coalition in that they were spending money on everything. So yes, maybe Space Force will happen. But the big thing that gets me every time, being a Sydney sider, is housing. Now, Dan, I know you're having some issues with housing. You'd probably like some housing.
Where's right, the fungus budget?
Yes, where's the fungus budget? Housing shaping up could be a big election issue. Tonight, as we're recording this, I just caught a little bit of Albo's budget reply speech. He's allocating $10 billion for social and affordable housing, which I think in Sydney will be about 20 studio apartments, right?
In Bondi, it's one studio apartment.
Oh, yes. But the big announcement out of Josh Frydenberg's budget, one of the big announcements for housing had to do with single parents. Now, I was raised by a single mum, so this is a big issue for me. And they've developed this interesting policy, I think largely to silence Albo, as he was raised in government housing with a single mum. So now he can't say they don't have a policy about this. So the policy the government's announced is single parents can buy a house with as little as a 2% deposit as the government guarantees the rest. Now, I did some maths on Newsfighters about this. Do you know what the average cost of a house in Sydney is these days?
Yeah, it's like 1 million and something.
It's like 1.3 million.
Jesus.
And to pay that without going into mortgage stress, you have to have a household income of $170,000 a year. Now, I don't know many single parents on $170,000 a year. Do you guys?
No. But if they're out there and want to be my parents, I am quite happy to be adopted by you.
But don't worry, the government has a way to make this affordable. They've imposed a property price cap to limit the maximum cost of the house that single parents can buy. And in Sydney, it's $700,000, Melbourne, $600,000, Brisbane, $475,000, and the other capitals, it's $400,000. And on top of that, it's only going to support 10,000 people over 4 years. Now, $400,000 can't buy you much. In fact, the clip I found has Alan Jones thinks this policy is absolute garbage. Have a listen to his take on it.
His toilet's worth $1.3 million.
I know.
Single parents are going to be eligible, they told us, to shift from long-term renting to owning a home with as little as 2% deposit. Now, even a $400,000 home, Terry, and I don't know where you find that, would need an $8,000 deposit. What?
What? That's going to be my new ringtone.
What?
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 What? God.
How is Alan Jones more in touch than Morrison and Frydenberg on what the value of a house is? Like, how is anyone? You can't get a family house even in Sydney for $700,000.
Not at all.
It's just ridiculous. The thing for young people they've announced to get into first home buying is an extension of the First Home Super Saver scheme. So young people now can raid up to $50,000 of their super for their house deposit, which, I don't know, does that sound like a lot to you? I think that's all your super.
My super has about $3,000 in it. I actually made the joke that when I was really, really poor about a year ago, I thought about just declaring myself bankrupt and you can just get access to some of that money. It's not even that much. I also had the thought that if I had to pass away, I'm not leaving anybody with anything.
Yeah, I always thought like my retirement plan would be to have a really great 2 weeks and then end it all in a blaze of glory somehow.
Well, that's basically what they're saying with all the housing policies at the moment. They're saying, raid your super, and then this new thing they announced is they want boomers to downsize to free up properties. So boomers, if they downsize, can put $300,000 of their house, whatever's left over from their house when they downsize, into their super. But it's like our generation is going to be lucky to be in a studio apartment. The only way you can downsize from a studio apartment is into a trailer, a van. like how are we going to downsize?
Like, what, listening to like the way that the budget dealt with home prices, it's like the hearing people I know talk about Bitcoin. Like it's people who are already in there trying to trick you into getting in after them just to prop up the mistake that they made because
totally
they know
right.
It's a sham. It's a fucking pyramid scheme.
I would
live in a pyramid now at the moment.
I agree with you on that point there, Lewis, except when I hear people talking about Bitcoin, I tune out and it's the same way I react to the people talking about housing costs because I'm just never going to have a house.
When people say to me, you really should get into crypto, what I hear is you should really get into playing the pokies.
Irrational fear.
What? Your fear is rational.
Our next guest is the Executive Director of the Australasian Centre for Corporate Responsibility. It's her job to hold companies to account for being good corporate citizens, but from the inside, it's Bryn O'Brien. Welcome, Bryn.
Hello. I'm excited we're talking about superannuation.
classic comedy fodder.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's budget week.
Well, no, but it's so totally related, right? We're talking about like so the government setting it up so that young people can start drawing down on their super is like stealing from your future self, which is basically what they're doing with this absolutely shithouse budget from a climate perspective. Anyway, I'm just going to launch in.
I would steal from my future self, though, if I had the chance, given a time machine.
Don't do it, Lewis. Don't steal from your future self.
But my future self, what's he doing with it? You know what I mean? I can pop forward. He's old.
Don't steal from your kids and grandkids, maybe. Is that a better?
Nah, I don't have any. I'm just the only person I'm hurting is myself, and I'm already broke. How bad could it be?
I think we need an intervention for Lewis.
Now, Bryn, happy budget week to you, or is it a happy budget week, I should probably ask?
Oh, look, it's pretty much like any other week under this kind of regime. The gas cash splash continues. People have been asking me in the last couple of days, oh, is this budget good for the climate? You know, where are we at? And it's worse than bad. Like, it's not even a neutral budget. It's continuing to spend more of taxpayers' money on the causes of climate change and none of the solutions. Like, it's absolute rubbish.
So how much money comparatively was spent on fossil fuels versus climate action?
So no money's being spent on climate action.
Is that a major problem? Like, is climate change a real problem that we should be...
Is nothing enough, I think, is what stands
out. Yeah, that's my... Yeah, can we do less?
Well, we can do less than we are. I mean, we're spending money on like more like $200 million more dollars on roads to support gas development in the Northern Territory, $60 million just directly throwing it at the gas industry. We've got, you know, $260-something million dollars on carbon capture and storage for fossil fuels, which is, I'm not going to even go into carbon capture and storage because it's horrifying. A lot of coin on diesel tax subsidies for multinational mining companies. Like, it's totally mad. I'm struggling because of just the absolute crap of this budget.
I'm sensing that maybe if you work in renewable energy or you work in electrification or you work in this space, the best thing you can do is to pretend to be a fossil fuel company and, you know, call yourself the big coal company, but you make windmills instead. Is that probably a smarter move?
Look, AGL's trying to do that actively at the moment, I think. So, you know, I probably ask their marketing department. But, yeah, you know, it's pretty bad.
You work in a place that has corporate responsibility in their name. How often do you encounter corporate responsibility?
that's a good one.
When you see a big company like Fortescue and Twiggy making lots of noises about hydrogen and moving to more sustainable practices, how do you view those sentiments that are kind of being aired, particularly in the last few months, where he seems to be all gung-ho on really rapidly transitioning out of fossil fuels into hydrogen?
Yeah, so I think Twiggy's position on hydrogen is a bit unclear, whether he's talking about kind of properly green renewable hydrogen or like gas hydrogen, blue hydrogen as they call it. And you know, like the ambition is there. The plan to get there is unclear. Twiggy is also, I think, one of the, you know, his company Squadron Energy is the recipient of like a $30 million subsidy under this budget for a Port Kembla gas import terminal. Like, you know, like, so there's some confounding things about Twiggy and his plans. But, you know, if you look at FMG's kind of scope 3 iron ore decarbonisation ambition, it's pretty amazing, but the plan's not there.
And scope three means emissions after the product has been shipped and has been burnt somewhere else, right? Bryn, now, you said import terminal. But forgive me if I'm wrong. Like, isn't Australia like the biggest exporter of gas? Why do we need to build import terminals?
Well, we don't need to, but sell gas and then it gets resold to us for cheaper than we sell it or some.
What? How do I get in on this scam? This is amazing.
The other really exciting thing in the budget, or the kind of response of the gas industry to the budget, was there's this item in the budget which is a levy on the oil and gas industry, offshore oil and gas industry, of about $250 Australian. They don't know how exactly they're going to raise it, but they're going to raise it from the industry over a kind of undefined period of time to deal with remediation of like offshore oil rigs in the Timor Sea. And so this is like the only kind of like thing that the budget does to kind of put some responsibility on the gas industry for remediating its horrible impacts. And APIA, the industry body that represents the petroleum industry, was absolutely livid about it. Like, they just put out this wild statement afterwards, just going like, you know, this will not stand. We will not clean up our mess. It's just the entitlement is insane.
Really? Oh God. Yeah. It's so strange. Like, you see how when these mines get put together and they go in there and they dig up all this stuff, in that process of pitching to state governments for that, they often put in remediation stuff in there going, yeah, no, we'll clean it up. And then the Minerals Council puts out these ads and billboards that you see in buses everywhere with a man and a horse going, this used to be a mine. And it's like in the middle of a paddock. But if you know anything about mining, it's a very precarious industry, and often those mines go bankrupt and there's no money to fill in the holes. It's like the Minerals Council is actually like absolutely lying to you. No, that never used to be a mine. That was a stock photo you bought off Getty Images, and the hole that exists still exists as a hole.
I'd love to know what they say when there's like a giant offshore drilling outpost. They're like, that offshore drilling? No, that's my cubby house. It's just a little cubby. It's an offshore cubby.
That's a natural squid that squirts ink into the sky.
A rational fear.
We're not going to achieve net zero in the cafes, dinner parties and wine bars of our inner cities.
That Australia trying to go for net zero emissions is like a 10-year-old boy who thinks he's Superman and jumps off his parents' roof. He doesn't have the technology and he's going to fall flat on his face.
Your fear is rational.
All right, let's play Hang On A Sec now. Now, when we're going to play you a clip. If you want to chime in and say something, just say Hang On A Sec. This is a clip of Keith Pitt, who is the Minister for Resources and Water and Northern Australia. And he, this week, ditched plans for a wind farm in Queensland because, quote, it was inconsistent with the objectives and policies of the Commonwealth government. And this is him on Sky News defending his choices to, dare I say, a really good journalist on Sky News. I'm going to play it. If you want to chime in and say something, just say, hang on a sec. Here we go.
Okay. So can you tell me, though, what size, for 157 megawatt wind farm, what size battery do you need to make it dispatchable?
Well, Tom, what I can tell you is that intermittent wind and solar...
Basic question.
...is not dispatchable.
But it is with a battery if it's big enough.
Well, I've made a decision based on what we're
doing. Hang on, but that's just a basic question. I know you've got an engineering background. Solar or wind is not dispatchable unless it has a battery. That's true, right? Depending on the size of the battery.
Oh, well, unless it's got other sources. It could be hybrid, it could be gas, it could be tied up with a hydro, it could be pumped hydro. There's any number
of combinations. Could be battery.
Could be diesel.
Could be battery.
Hang on a sec. That little riff he does on all the things it could be... It's like the gas, or it's like the climate change denial version of I've Been Everywhere, Man.
Yeah, let me just play that bit again. That was a really good observation. Here we go.
It could be hybrid, it could be gas, it could be tied up with a hydro, it could be pumped hydro. There's any number
could
of
combinations.
It could be diesel.
It could be
anything but a battery.
As long as it's spewing emissions into the sky, yeah.
It could be any number of things.
But it could be a battery.
It sounds staged. I thought when I first saw this, I thought somebody was trying to stunt Sky News. I thought it was one of the Chaser boys.
The writing
seems wrong. Yeah.
The writing is so good. It's very, very funny.
It's great.
The Chaser would be in a giant costume of some kind.
Yeah, it'd be Craig Rucastle in the shape of a battery.
Yeah.
But it could be a battery.
Tom, as I've said many times.
Well, yeah, I just don't understand why you won't agree that it could be that a battery can back up a wind farm.
Well, as I've said, it comes down to a whole pile of decisions, including capacity, availability.
But I'm not going to that. I'm just asking, can a battery...
Hang on a sec. I just want to know who the government hired to teach spin, because whoever it is not making enough money.
Yeah, you could just go after this person and not even give it context, just be like, Keith, yes or no? And he'd be like...
Adjectives.
Well, it's much more complicated than that, I'm afraid. Yeah, it's also a maybe.
Decisions, including capacity, availability.
But I'm not going to that. I'm just asking, can a battery back up a wind farm?
Well, once again, how big is it? How long does it run for? What does it want it to do?
Well, a big enough battery, can it back up a wind farm?
Well, this is pretty broad and hypothetical, Tom.
Well, it just seems like a simple question. If a battery's big enough, it can back up a wind farm, right?
Mm-hmm. How big's big enough?
Well, I don't know. You tell me.
That's the exact question.
Okay. All right. We'll move on.
Oh my God. I just love that last one.
Imagine going to a restaurant with this man. Imagine going to a restaurant with Keith. Keith, what do you want for dinner? Oh, I don't know. It could be an entree. It could be a main. It could be dessert. Could be an after. Could be a wine. Could be a
what
beer.
What I do know, it's definitely not a salad. No leafy greens for me. Thank you.
No.
Oh, this was at the moment where they both start laughing. Like when
they both know it's ridiculous.
Like,
yeah.
When you're like, they know the game, and which is kind of like watching it, there's a moment where I like giggled along. I was like, and then I went, oh, we're all going to die.
Well, that is it for Irrational Fear. Big thank you to all of our guests, Gabby Bolt, Dylan Bain, Lewis Hover, Bryn O'Brien. Now, you guys got anything to plug? Gabby, do you want to plug anything?
I do. I have a gig at Yeah, the Girls Comedy on the 23rd of May. Which is all-female comedian lineup, which is amazing. And I'll be, performing in Bega with Irrational Fear on the 13th of June.
Woo! Yeah. Dylan Bain, you got any gigs to plug?
Yes, well, I'll be down in Bega with Irrational Fear.
Yeah, woo!
doing the DJ stuff. And also the budget episode of Newsfighters this week, 20-minute non-stop laugh-a-thon take on the budget. Check it out hard to believe, at newsfighters.com or wherever you get your podcast.
Oh, sorry, can I also chime in? I forgot I have a new job. The Chaser has also got a podcast coming out.
Yes.
24th of May. I forgot that I work there for like 10 minutes.
Gabby, if you ever need a guest, let me know. I'm available. Bryn, do you have anything to plug?
Go and check out our website, accr.org.au, and go and buy some shares in some fossil fuels stocks to help us change them.
And is that what people do? People can go to your website, buy shares through you for that?
No. People can go to our website and learn more about what we do, but they can go and buy shares in their own time with their own money. And so if you only had, the only data you had about me was my share portfolio, you would think I was an absolute psychopath and I was a really shit investor, because it's like oil and gas, like, you know, the only thing that's keeping me going at the moment is the iron ore stocks, and they rely on like desecration of cultural heritage sites. So psychopath, hedging through iron ore, but you know, it's bad.
So I've recently new to investing. Maybe I should sell all of my renewable shares and buy fossil fuel shares.
Don't do that. So don't do that.
Thank you. Lewis, you got anything to plug?
Sure. I mean, the other podcast I've been doing recently is called Simply the Jest. It's very good. Yeah, we were recently up in the iTunes comedy charts, and this is why I want people to listen to it. Because at the moment, well, when I went and looked at it, we were fourth, which was very good, but we were behind Joe Rogan, which obviously infuriated, and two separate Hamish and Andy podcasts.
Hamish and Andy.
And they're both lovely, and I wish them all the best. But how much more do they need?
Look, how many podcasts do you need, Lewis? You're on three now.
Yeah, I know, Dan. I just love working for free.
I was going to say, that's definitely the way to boost your ratings. Just ask, beg to listen to it.
Yeah, I was like, I've got a radio show that people listen to, but I much prefer to do work for free in the same medium.
Big thanks to Road Mics, the Bertha Foundation, our Patreon supporters, Killian David, Ads, Kieran Sheepy, P. McNeil, Dave Bluestein, Lee Constable and Discord. Also, big shout out to Rupert Dagas for his sponsorship announcement and Jacob Round on the Teppanyaki Timeline. Until next week, there's always something to be scared of. Good night, and please come to our live shows and buy buy some merch. Bye. Woo!
What?
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.